Parent Show, sponsored by Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raydonsolicitors.co.uk.
A very warm welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I am Lydia L. Khoury, and I'm delighted to be joined this evening by two very important local figures. So it's Margaret Chapman and Paul Ramsey, who are head teachers of St. Albans Girls School and Verulam School, respectively. So thank you for joining me on the Parents Show this evening.
You're welcome, Lydia. Good to be here.
Pleasure.
It's great to have you both back. And, you know, when it came to the return to school, you know, on the Parents Show, we wanted to speak to both of you and ask you, how are you doing and how does it feel to be back at school? Margaret, we'll start with you.
Thank you. Well, to be fair, a lot of us haven't been away. It's just the students who haven't been on site. And I think that it is an absolute joy. We've just had break time and with the window open to hear the students chattering and talking and doing normal things, because that's what's so, so important. So we have hugely missed our young people being on site, and it's just not the same. But obviously, the most important thing was to keep us safe and to follow the guidelines as much as possible. And so it's wonderful. Wonderful.
I can well believe it. And how is it in Verulam School, Paul?
Well, it's been interesting. The second lockdown, having the school partially empty again, only key workers and vulnerable children in, made it a very quiet place. Quite a few staff in, still quite busy, but quiet. And in the week of the 8th of March, it was an absolute pleasure to hear the school gradually filling up as each year group in turn returned to school. And, you know, the sounds of school have returned to normal, the sounds of football at lunchtime, people playing and chatting, the canteen being busy, reminding people not to drop litter, all those sorts of things. The things that we've missed are a real pleasure to get back. And it's been really brilliant seeing how confident our young people are actually coming back. A lot of them, this is the second time they've come back from lockdown, and they're really happy to be back. And I can't think what it is like for a 14 or 15-year-old boy to have missed playing football with his friends at lunchtime for you know, essentially 3 months, which is what it was.
And adding to that, girls miss talking to each other. I've been told so many times it's not the same talking online. So, you know, it's great. One student, it sort of epitomised it for me when she said, "Miss, don't take this the wrong way, but I never thought I'd ever say I'm delighted to be back in school. It's great. And it's really nice to see you all." So I think that really sums up everything that they have missed, but actually have grown, you know, I think grown a lot in terms of their independent learning. And I think our young people are wonderful. They really are a credit to themselves and their generation that they have taken the trials and tribulations of the last year. And, you know, sort of we focus on words of optimism. And I think that's really, really important. I find it a real issue within the media when they talk about the COVID generation and negativity. But to me, I think they're an extraordinary generation who've done an amazing job at keeping themselves focused and actually, you know, doing their part, each and every one of them, in keeping their communities safe.
It's so lovely to hear from the both of you about how happy you are to have the students back in school. And I think if there's one thing that comes out of it, I think we all appreciate the small things a little bit better. Like you say, playing football at lunch or chatting with your pals. Who would have thought this time last year that it'd be such an important part and that we desperately want it back? So, I mean, we are hearing that from the student side too. And it's just lovely to hear head teachers say the same. And I want to zone in on something you said, Margaret, about independent learning. So this has been the challenge because children have had to suddenly independently learn remotely and home has become a school. How do you think that has gone? Paul, let's start with you.
Well, I actually think our students have been really remarkable. I sat and did a day of interviewing on Monday via Zoom, about 4 or 5 hours of it, and I was completely shattered by the end of the day. And what was really clear is that our students, I think students across Hertfordshire, coped really well with remote learning. Verulam, they were getting live lessons, not always live PE lessons, but task set. But for most of the time, they were working online, only communicating via a text function or speaking up in class. And they've done really well at it. And I think the kind of resilience and self-discipline that shows to get up in the morning, get ready, be there for registration online at 8:35, and go from one lesson to the next, coping with what is a very different and much more difficult education experience shows how adaptable they are. And I think I agree with Margaret, the media has done a disservice. They're far more resilient and innovative than the media often would make out. But of course, that doesn't make for a good story. I'm not talking about the radio, obviously, but the newspapers. And they've found ways of doing work, submitting it online, getting feedback online, and then going and improving it. Particularly those students and exam years really have knuckled down, worked really hard. And normally, during school, we'd be encouraging and supporting continually during this spring term. And they've had to do that themselves to a great deal. And I think that says a lot about them.
I completely agree. I think the use of technology in education has catapulted, you know, a further decade in only a year, and the use of technology very fluidly and very confidently. We use Google Classroom and the Google Suites, and that was sort of in place already, but not used as fluidly and fluently as has been evident. And yet, as Paul said, you know, literally it took a couple of days for the students to realise that they were going to have registration. So we did a normal school day timetable. We did assemblies. We did, you know, sometimes cameras on, sometimes cameras off. But it was really about keeping that level of engagement, but also talking about well-being and screen time. So in our PE lessons, for example, they had to do something physical and active and then record what that might be. And I think it was about trying to be as creative as possible with keeping students as engaged as they could be. But the level of engagement was huge. You know, the level of attendance to our lessons was between 96 and 98%. It was huge. And that just shows really the value of education. Also, the fact that if somebody wasn't attending a lesson, you were able to get on your phone quickly and say, you should be here, made such a difference to the immediacy of, you know, of contact. And I think it wasn't a time at any time to think, oh, we can pause education. You know, this is the one chance our young people have got of their lives and for their futures. And they deserve to have aspirations for the future. And we were never going to allow that to be put on hold. And so we had to very swiftly adapt to the situation and ensure that they knew that what they were doing was of value and importance for their futures. And like Paul, you know, we undertook sort of progression meetings, face-to-face ones with students with year 11 and year 10, and then more recently year 9, just sort of catch up, how are you doing? And it was lovely, you know, saying, how are you, miss? You know, it was just wonderful that, and they were talking about a lot of family walks. I think it's been the vast majority of young people, it's been a real time for family coming together and supporting them. But most importantly, our children haven't fallen behind. Their emotional well-being is of paramount importance. And so they have learned to be adaptable and resilient. And I think it is an absolute credit to them. And so when they've returned over the last 3 weeks, apart from having to get involved with lateral flow tests, which were a very special time for 9 days. But actually, they have realised that it's a lot about them. And you can see a lot of maturity in their approach to their own learning now.
That you're using vocabulary that is a dream, you know, to parents like me, you know, saying they've innovated, they've shown resilience. It's just so great to hear your perspective on this. And actually, lateral flow, that was the thing I wanted to ask you about next. So it wasn't a normal start back to school. You must be so busy, but I bet you're glad those 9 days have passed and you can get on with normal work now.
It's very pleasing to see the back of the testing regime in school, if you like. But I think if we go back a little bit and think about what schools and teachers and heads were asked to do at Christmas, we had testing on return to school sprung on us. A lot of teachers, head teachers across Hertfordshire, set up massive sites ready for a return that, of course, never happened. I remember my first days back in January, training to be a tester, and I'm sure as Margaret did, covering all the bases, so we knew what that looked like. And actually, what we've seen is that both schools and the broader community around schools are incredibly adaptable. And if you said that every secondary school in the country would have an 8-bay testing site established by March, you'd have sort of laughed and asked what planet you were coming from. But actually, what we found was a huge number of volunteers, of parents, of ex-students. Mm-hmm. I've got an ex-student who left 4 or 5 years ago, who's on furlough, who's come back and has been in every day since we opened our testing site. And actually is continuing to work with the school and the site team as testing comes to an end. But, you know, the willingness of parents and others to get involved to make sure that students were as safe as possible when they returned and that staff felt safe was really, I think, a lot of reassurance for parents and I think a lot of reassurance for students. And personally, I'm surprised by the level of uptake, you know, in the high 98% of students wanting to be tested and all staff wanting to be tested. And I'm sure that will continue. Now students are moving to home testing twice a week.
Yes, I echo that. I mean, we had the most wonderful response from parents and staff, actually. You know, you have to do a 2-hour training module for which you had to get 100% in every part of the training module, quite rightly taking the whole process very seriously. And there we got involved with things I never thought in my life I would be in full PPE in school, in our gym, as we had 8 booths and doing processing and testing. But you do what you need to do to get the young people back into their learning environment and feeling safe. And I think, you know, my mantra throughout this has been safety first for all. I've said that, you know, and used that term within our school community. And I think certainly when our students first came back, they were quite concerned about what school would look like. And after they went through their first lateral flow test, they realized they had nothing to fear. And as, you know, as with Verulam, we had very, very strong uptake. And just it showed the community of the school and the environment coming together at a time where, again, you see about communities across the country, how supportive they've been of each other. And it was really very, very evident for us as well. And again, the home testing kits, the students have continued to do that. Staff have done that as well, so that we can provide as safe as possible environment so we can get on with the day job, which is the children learning.
Absolutely. And it's been a really, I mean, secondary schools have risen to the occasion like I think no one else really in the country, having to suddenly have a testing base set up on every school it's so impressive how you've done it and then quickly turned your hand back to teaching. And I think it has generated independence. I hear 12-year-old boys and girls, you know, talking about now taking on doing the lateral flow themselves, putting, you know, reminders in their phones to get them to do it. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing to stretch them a little bit in that direction. But of course, not everything to do with homeschooling was positive. And I'm sure it has raised some issues as well. And I'd really like to know what you think about that, Margaret. Are there serious issues or do you think they're kind of temporary issues that homeschooling has raised?
I think that, you know, there were some technical issues to start with, which we were able to quickly address in terms of access to everything from, you know, Chromebooks to dongles and everything. But those were very, very quickly able to be addressed. The key really was to ensure that there was not only attendance, but also engagement. But I think that what's very clear is because our students were following the same timetable, they were having the same daily diet that they were used to having actually in the autumn term. Apart from that face-to-face element going, there was no change with that. And also, we have a student support team and a very strong pastoral team. So if a student looked as though they were perhaps flagging or not engaging as much, then we would be onto the telephone very quickly and saying, are you all right? What can we do to help? And so really, genuinely, nobody was left behind. And I think that really was the great strength of the school in staff being able to scoop up students, and particularly those who perhaps looked a little bit more disinterested or perhaps didn't log on, but you could deal with that immediately. And so genuinely, students weren't left behind because we knew and could account for everybody. Where there was illness through COVID, or whether there was genuine illness for other reasons, because also other reasons of illness happened too, then we were able to, again, support additional learning and provide additional guidance and support. But because everything we do is on Google Classroom, students were able to see and catch up very quickly. Now, obviously, that's content driven. And what you do in your classroom is apply that content to different situations. And so what we have done over the last 3 weeks is we have conducted surveys for learner voice to find out, have you got any gaps in any subject areas that you're concerned about? And so we can really bespoke and target any areas that there are gaps in learning or gaps in understanding, which means, again, that no student is left behind.
Fantastic. And Paul, how about your experience in Verulam?
Yeah, I think for most pupils like Margaret, because we replicated the school days, they felt supported. They knew what they were doing, and consistency and clarity is really important for boys. It's really important for children. I think boys really thrive on it. There are, of course, those students who need the support of school, and for school sometimes it's a bit of a haven, a bit of a respite. They get interactions and support which aren't always available all the time at home because of domestic service circumstances of families. That are having difficult times. And those students were the ones we felt my sympathy for. And like Margaret, we put lots of support in for them, home visits where necessary, bringing those students into skeleton school, if at all possible, or key worker school. And that was really important. I think we've learned a lot from the first lockdown, and we're much more flexible. So if we sensed any need, we'd respond in appropriate ways, whether it's phone calls, support, and very often bringing them in for 2 or 3 days just to enjoy key worker and vulnerable school, and just have some kind of interaction with other young people. If you think about a family, maybe with one child at home, everyone's in lockdown, not seeing any other young people at all, not seeing anyone else apart from virtually, it was really important for some of those students to come in, get some support, get some normality back, enjoy the simple things, going to break, having a little bit of banter with a member of staff. And certainly I remember going into those classrooms and seeing those students who were in for special support, and seeing how they glowed and how different they were from how they might have been over the telephone. And sometimes that little bit of human contact makes all the difference. So that was the key issue for us with homeschooling.
That's fantastic to hear that the level that you've both gone to ensure the well-being of your students is really heartening. I think we're all most concerned as parents about those children, particularly in exam years, and I'd like to focus on that a little bit. Can you talk us through what you've experienced since September for your 2 exam years? Margaret, if we can start with you, how has it gone? Has it been a little bit of a roller coaster? Is that an understatement, an overstatement?
I think, to be honest with you, we have to, as school leaders, ensure that our young people do not see any of the concern that perhaps we may have internally. They need to know and have confidence in what we're saying and what we're delivering. And I think at times, perhaps the lack of guidance from the examination board or the Department for Education perhaps may have curtailed that, or we have needed to have a little bit more guidance than perhaps was forthcoming. However, we began sort of a few weeks into September with doing some examinations for years 11 and 13 to ensure that the students almost did a gap analysis of anything that they may have felt that they were unsure of in their knowledge, skills or understanding from the previous summer term lockdown. And so we were able to very clearly in every subject area target the areas of their specifications that they needed to really drill into. And so we focus very much on the content and then application of knowledge, as you would expect to do for any examination. We then came to all expecting to be returning to school on the 3rd of January. There was this enormous U-turn on the following day, and exams will be cancelled. And then the day after that, it's just, oh no, we will be doing examinations as well. And so we have just tried to ensure a calm focus that students know that there will be one student will be disadvantaged by what has happened. And I think that is the message that we have said to everybody, so that they do not feel that they have lost out. they don't feel that they are going to be given a grade that does not meet their ability, but also that that is fair and balanced for every young person across the country, given the horrendous situation that many people have been in. And so the fair and balanced approach is what we have looked at. And in, across schools in St Albans and Harpenden, we have a very similar approach to how we are ensuring that there is grading that is fair, that is balanced, that is based on evidence that we have to show how students have progressed to reach a grade outcome. And indeed, today, there's been further guidance from the examination watchdog, Ofqual, which really just validates everything that we've all planned to do to support our young people and ensure that they get a validation of what they've achieved in their educational journey thus far.
Thanks, Margaret. Paul, how do you feel about the situation for exam years?
Yeah, well, firstly, I was pleasantly surprised about how much progress and how few gaps there were when Year 11 and 13 returned in September. And then we were quite clear at Verulam, we wanted to make sure we could assess them regularly and gain evidence, which, of course, most schools did, which has been invaluable. What I felt most concerned for were students, because they'd seen the debacle of last summer and U-turn after U-turn. And our aim was to give them confidence and to give them clear targets to move forward towards. So every 3 or 4 weeks, there's your next target. This is all you need to do. Boys like that. Therefore, they were focused on the learning. They were focused on demonstrating what they knew rather than worrying about the end product. So January didn't help enormously for their mental well-being, but we communicated very quickly with our students, both boys and girls in the sixth form and boys lower down, to make them aware of our expectations and to get them to understand the important principle that they'd only be assessed on what they had been taught and what they knew, and that we would use every bit of evidence we possibly could and give them every credit for what they'd done. That kept them working really hard. There was, of course, a danger that some might have thrown their hands up and said, right, there's no point, there's no exams, we don't know what's going to happen. The government mucked it up last year, they might do it again this year. And actually, every single student in our exam years, we take GCSE in year 10 as well, English literature, so 3 years worth of students in 10, 11 and 13 have been really applying themselves, which I'm immensely proud of. We're really clear with them now about what's going to be happening. We published an early timetable. Unfortunately, all the government's agendas have fitted in with that. And they're working now as hard as they would in any year. And I think they'll make excellent progress, and are continuing to make excellent progress. Of course, this is all very new for staff. Staff having to do a lot of training and development to make sure they're absolutely consistent, absolutely fair, demonstrate no bias whatsoever. And very, very pleased that parents seem to have enormous confidence in the schools and their teachers that we will be fair, that we will be consistent, that we'll be doing our best for the young people. We did a number of webinars for parents. I had very few questions coming into them. So I think clearly parents and students have more confidence in schools than they perhaps do in the government.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great to hear that, the positivity that both of you are exuding. So can you tell us how last year's lockdown and this lockdown compare for your schools? Was the last one harder? Is this one harder? Did the lessons of the first one help hit the ground running on this one, even though you were only given 24-hour notice to suddenly move online? I'd just really like to know what you think, Margaret.
What happened last time in the first lockdown in the summer was very much that I think it was, I honestly can't believe that it actually happened, because it was until it was like, really, it was just anathema. It was sort of completely out of our comprehension. And so the work that we were providing for students, I think, was on a more of a staccato basis. It wasn't as fluid as this spring term 2021 lockdown period. And then when, after a couple of weeks, we'd got into actually using the online platform and into Google Classroom, which we did incredibly quickly, going from nothing to a full-on offer. When the government then said that students could return, but on a rota basis the timetable that we had in place then had to go out of the window, because effectively you had half student numbers in your classes. So it doubled the requirement of the teacher time. What happened now, very sensibly, is that we said we are keeping to our normal teacher timetable. And it was invaluable for continuity of learning. And I think that would have made the first lockdown so much better, particularly for our younger children. But in fact, for all students now, it's been a really, really positive experience. It's equally more wonderful to see them face to face, I have to say. But I think this time it was literally within 24 hours we were up and running with face-to-face, real-time lessons and learning. And so because we were able to determine our own school timetables.
Thanks, Margaret. Paul?
I absolutely agree with Margaret. Certainly last lockdown, we went on a very rapid learning journey. And we consistently evolved our delivery and things we were doing. Reacted to the fact that for some younger students, for instance, you know, continuous 5-6 lessons a day wasn't working at some points, and moving to projects and other forms of enrichment because it seemed far longer last time in some ways. I think it was longer. What it meant was that as a staff and as a school, we'd done a lot of rapid learning. We'd done an awful lot of staff training, and people had experimented, which meant that this summer we were able to share those experiences and develop in readiness for this kind of situation an offer which was far better. We also trained all the staff, so they were skilled up. And therefore, like Margaret, when the order to lockdown came, our response was very different. It was simply, we will provide the Verilum learning experience, but at home. And we were prepared to do that. We'd also gone down the bring-your-own-device route in school, which meant that our students were better equipped. There were less gaps in the student end because, of course, online learning depends on good internet access and good use of device and not sharing devices like people were in the last lockdown. So it was much smoother. Staff are much more prepared and they've been much more inventive in the lessons they can create, because it's not just a question of delivering the lesson online. An online lesson has often got to be slightly different than you do in the classroom. You think about things like music. You think about drama. I saw an online dance lesson on Monday, which astonished me, how someone could be so creative to do that, certainly beyond my capabilities. But, you know, seeing what teachers have done and the innovations they've put forward is really encouraging. And as a profession, they clearly have evolved. And if there's any silver linings, it's that there's a lot of things out of lockdown learning that we can take and bring into our normal work. So that students' work at home and homework or parallel study can be far more inventive, far more reflective. I agree with Margaret, the fact of having all our resources and our lessons on Google Classroom so students can go back to them, can review learning that they've had actually live during the day if you couldn't understand it, is a great resource and facility and enables them to continue that independence they had during lockdown.
Yes, as somebody said to me, we'll never have a snow day again, because we will always have that flexibility of access to learning. And I think even, you know, if young people are absent, then they have their access to their learning as immediately in real time. There's not a delay in accessing their content that has been in the lesson during the part of a day. So I think that's, there are some great COVID keeps and, you know, lockdown learning and all the sorts of euphemisms that people are talking about. But I think there has to be silver linings from this. We have to look at words of optimism.
Fantastic. And actually, that was my last question for you both, which was silver linings. And I can't tell you how great it is to hear two of our local head teachers speaking so positively and taking lessons to learn from this. It's excellent. And any other silver linings that you think that we can come away from the whole experience with?
So we are about to going into the summer term, going to look at our COVID keeps, things that we are going to take forward And I think the idea of blended learning, but also, you know, parents' evenings have been a massive success online. Parents have enjoyed the flexibility of it. And also, you know, webinars, instead of coming in for parents' information sessions, have given a huge amount more engagement. We have parent book groups, we have parent voice groups, all of which we've been able to do online. And the attendance has increased exponentially. For our parents' evenings, normally we have between 90 and 94% attendance. We have had 98% attendance to all of our parents' evenings online. So I think that level of engagement and that flexibility for parents in society today has been really very much welcomed. And for our students, at the moment, they're wearing their PE kits. And a lot of them like wearing their PE kits because it gives their uniform a break, apparently, during the day. But certainly it is actually taking the breadth of experiences, how we use technology to support learning, as opposed to seeing it as a bolt-on to learning. I think that will take us into, you know, the next decades and beyond.
And Paul, your thoughts?
I think there's three things that come out, really. Yep, technology has been a real boost. Our parents love and our staff love online parents' evening. Certainly doing webinars rather than parents' evenings for things like options and talking about the future has been really powerful. You know, parents will speak up and type questions which others can't see online rather than putting their hands up in a hall and ask you a question. No one feels that they're asking stupid questions in a webinar, which is really, really good. I think the same for students as well. Sometimes they will digitally ask a question which they wouldn't in a classroom, which is important. So using technology is a real bonus, and there's a lot of keeps there. I also think, in another way, very often I would, after a day of work in running the Vulnerable Key Worker School, go for a quick walk at 3:30, and I've never seen so many people enjoying a quick walk at the end of the school day ever in my life. And that flood of people out to the streets of this area, Fleetville, around 3:30, 4 o'clock was a pleasure to see. And perhaps a lot of students and parents won't forget the pleasure of walking and of walking along and talking to each other. And our students have also learned that those very small contacts we might have with our neighbours, just to say hello in passing, are important ones. And I think in this lockdown, like the last, a lot of people have got to know perhaps people in the local communities a little bit better, maybe on a superficial basis. But all those contacts of knowing who we are in a community are really important. Lastly, and as an English teacher, this is clearly the most important, people have read more. I think Amazon must have done very well out of it, but there's also been online and electronic libraries. And I certainly know that my boys have come back having read more, and that can only be a good thing. If that habit is instilled and inculcated, they will be better for it.
Yes, and I think that sense of community within the wider neighbourhood, that is a sense of belonging to the community in which they live and in which they go to school, I think that has been really, really important. And perhaps the smaller things in life are not taken for granted anymore. And I think that, if anything, is something we need to learn positively, a sense of optimism in what is around us.
Fantastic. What a lovely positive note to end our interview on. Margaret Chapman, Paul Ramsey, thanks a million for joining us on the Parents Show and for lifting us all. It's been so positive speaking to you both, and thanks for the great work you're doing for our local community.
Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you very much.
A warm welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elkhury.
And I am Seema Barker. So good to still be with you this evening.
Now, tonight's show, as you know, in the first half, we were speaking to two wonderful head teachers from St. Albans Schools. And now we wanted to get the perspective from another very important group of people, and obviously the students. So we're really delighted to be joined by three of our local schools and students who represent those schools. So first up, I'd like to introduce Lauren.
Hello, I'm Lauren Pollard, and I'm a Year 11 student at Beaumont School.
Thanks, Lauren. And next, Lucas.
Hiya, I'm Lucas, and I'm a student at Verulam School, studying in Year 13.
Great. And Nabrissa.
Hello, I'm Nabrissa Badu. I'm in Sandringham School, and I'm in Year 12.
Fantastic. It's really, really great to have you all joining us on the show this evening. And we were dying to talk to you because we really want to hear what this latest lockdown has been like from your perspective. So tell us, you're back in school, 3 months of home learning, lockdown. Lauren, how has it been?
Well, I've actually preferred coming back into the classrooms because I found it so hard to focus at home. It was just much easier to be in a classroom and be with a teacher teaching you and talking at you.
No, that makes sense, doesn't it? That probably felt like quite a long time, having the teacher just talking at you over Zoom. And what about you, Lucas? How does it feel to be back in school for you?
Honestly, it is good. As somebody, I really find that learning when you've got a human interaction face to face is much easier. It's quite difficult to distinguish between being at home and being able to learn at home and being at school. It's definitely good to be back.
Lovely, thank you. And Nabrissa, how about for you? How does it feel? Does it feel good?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it feels great to be back at school. It's so much easier to be able to distinguish between your home life and your school life when the two aren't mixed together. And so I think going back to school and being back there in person with all your friends and your teachers, it's just been so much easier to learn.
So basically, what I'm hearing from all of you, you're all happy to be back in school. So this, what we were hearing about students being delighted to be in bed, step out, you know, a bed straight in front of a computer, no walking to school, is all fantastic. It's actually not your experience. Is that right, Nabrissa?
Well, I think it depends on a lot of things. So I travel quite far away from school. So I actually live in Bournemouth. So I have to take a train and a bus to get to school. So some days it was a lot nicer to have a bit of a lie-in and get up not too early and just go straight to class. But of course, it's a whole different environment just learning at home than it is compared to school. So I think it kind of depends. But overall, I think being back in the school environment is better for me and better for my learning.
How about you, Lucas? Did you enjoy that element of it, of not having to get up as early?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did enjoy it, because being a sixth form student, you've got study periods where you've got the free time to be able to do your own learning. And obviously, when you're at home, in that sort of lockdown period, the free periods, you are just at home. So you can choose that to have some food and get on with your work in your own time, and you're not distracted. So that definitely was a positive of having that type of lockdown learning.
Brilliant. How about you, Lauren?
Well, I'm not really a morning person. So I was getting up at like 9 or 10 o'clock. And once you get up at that time, the work, it goes on until like 4 or 5. And after a few hours of sitting down, it just gets so boring and repetitive. So I think going into school does add a bit of structure to the day, which is quite nice.
Perhaps it feels a bit easier now as well, Lauren, and the rest of you, because, well, it's not quite as cold to have to get up in the morning, I suppose. So that's been quite nice for all of us, having to get up again early in the morning. But thinking about the fact that actually, your exam year students, and, you know, has it been, well, what's been problematic? I mean, obviously, there's more things that you've got on your mind than perhaps some of the other school students. So let me start with you, Lucas. Has it been problematic that you're a year 13 student? How bad has the experience been?
I mean, it has been difficult, because it's been shaky with knowing what we're doing, really, because exams are cancelled and they're, in a different sense, still going ahead. So being at home learning, it's difficult that the learning always seems to be structured towards these exams. We're always now revising, because we've got these little exams that happen every so often. So it almost feels like we're doing more than we were, I'll be honest.
Oh, that's interesting. So since the kind of the last lockdown, when you've come back and everything's been rejigged, you've got small exams that you're doing, and it's just what, more intense? Because I'm assuming that you will have dropped some parts of your spec, so you won't have to revise everything.
Yeah, so we've got, the spec definitely is narrowed down, but when we sort of, for example, like the previous years when it was like an exam season or time period, we'd sort of be able to prepare for a longer amount of time. With these small assessments every few months, we're constantly preparing for assessments, and they mean a lot more, because they all build up to that grade at the end.
Yeah. Have you had a breakdown then, Lucas, of, do you know how much the assessments are going to actually count towards each of your subjects? Or are you still slightly unsure of that?
I know some schools have had like a physical number percentage breakdown, but no, we're not. I think it's, I'm not sure we've got a percentage, but I think we've got a rough idea that what it's going to count for.
Right, yeah.
And Nabrissa, how about you? How do you feel being in an exam year? Has it made things more difficult?
Oh, 100%. I think coming from the year group that we were the year group who in year 11 didn't have any exams. So we had a really, really long summer, the longest summer probably of our lives. And we've gone into year 12. And of course, they emphasize a lot of independence in year 12 in terms of studying and making sure that you're revising. It's a lot more independent than it is down in year 11 or in year 10. So I think that sort of pressure of having to make sure that you are motivating yourself to study enough has been difficult, especially coming from the summer where we really didn't have to do much, going straight into year 12, where you're expected to do so much more. I think that has definitely been the biggest struggle for people in my year group.
And Lauren, how about you? How have you found the whole process?
Well, in the end, it's worked out quite nicely because our grades are made up of mocks, classroom assessments, and like other topic tests that we've done. But it has been quite annoying just like not knowing to revise or what to revise. So I've only just started revising for these mini assessments, they're calling them. But otherwise, I haven't done any work like revision wise.
And for some of you, there's been, although you say, Lauren, you haven't done any work revision-wise, being back at school recently, I suppose, has meant that that's been quite a lot of focus that way on revision. Lauren, has there been kind of revision happening in school in that way, in your classroom?
Yes, definitely, because we've completed most of the spec for all the different subjects. So we've got exams coming up this month, which we'll be revising for in class, which is quite nice.
You know, it, just hearing you all speak about it, and a lot of unpredictability has been kind of thrown at you over the last year. And I think you're coping so well. I don't feel like when I'm talking to you, Lauren or Nabrissa or Lucas, that it's thrown you off, that you're just kind of getting on with whatever it is that kind of ends up being the end result. Have I got it right? Nabrissa, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think so. I think it goes for everyone, not even just people in school, that, but especially students. Everyone just sort of wants to get on with it now. We feel like we don't have much of a choice whether or not to just go full steam ahead, because obviously so many hurdles have been thrown at us. So I think the whole idea is just to power on, just see what you can get at, trying to do your best in exams, no matter which ones that we get, even if it's just small internal assessments. I think that's the sort of attitude that everyone's adapted.
Excellent. How about you, Lucas?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Nabrissa. Definitely. I think that especially in year 13, we're coming to the end of sort of the whole school process, been a long process. And it seems to be, in the grand scheme of things, it is quite a large blip, but we've got to roll with the punches and do the best we can possibly do, really. Because, I mean, there's nothing really we can change about it. We've just got to get on with it. And it's been difficult, but definitely got to get through it and get it done.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Mr. Ramsey and Mrs. Chapman from Stags and Verulam, and they were saying you will be astounded by the resilience and the adaptability. And you guys are really sure you're showing us that's exactly the way it is. Lauren, do you feel it's just a case of, as Lucas said, rolling with the punches?
Well, yeah, we've not really got any other choice. It's not that we've got a massive say in what goes on. But I do think it's turned out quite well, not doing exams. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it is, like Lydia said, it's really amazing to hear your resilience. And you three seem to be perfect examples of that, which is heartening for all of our listeners to hear. But there has been an awful lot of talk in the media about well-being of all of our students, all of our young people. And I'm just wondering, albeit that you've all expressed kind of real positivity, do you think that's an issue, the well-being of perhaps yourself or people that you know in your year that have had to cope with, you know, so much uncertainty and change and everything that we've all had to cope with? Lauren, let me start with you on that one.
I do think well-being is such an issue, especially with lockdown, like not getting out and seeing people, being stuck at home and doing everything at home, like the online learning. It's really not good for people's mental health. And that's why I think being back in the classroom has been great, because you are forced to speak to people and interact with teachers and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So it's that the lack of interaction causing harm to people. And what about you? Let me ask you, Nabrissa, next. What do you think about well-being, perhaps not just for yourself, but for people that you know?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a massive issue. Thankfully, the school has been really good at making sure that everyone is okay. But I think it's so easy to just isolate yourselves. I know that we do have loads of social media and people are only just a call away, but it is so easy to just turn off your phone, make sure you don't see anyone else outside, and just stop yourself from getting that interaction, which is obviously not good. We are social creatures, we need and crave that interaction. And people have been just so focused on just trying to get through it that sometimes they forget that they need that interaction and they need to talk to someone. So I do think for people our age living through this, it's definitely a big problem.
And Lucas, kind of coming out of some of the answers that we've just heard to you, you know, what do you think about the well-being of the people around you? And has that well-being not been served because during lockdown you've interacted with other students, I'm assuming, and your teachers online? Is that online interaction just not enough?
I mean, online interaction, it just isn't the same as being in a classroom. I've never felt, though, that I can't reach out to a teacher. They've always been very supportive. I've never felt like I could go into a dark hole without anybody knowing, because I've always got teachers checking up on me. I definitely think that something that's affected the well-being is the fact that this second lockdown has been in the more dingy weather. I think that people that definitely find it more difficult in the darker weather definitely has affected well-being overall.
And now we had a few technical issues, but hopefully we are joined by Lily Golding. Lily, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Fantastic to have you join us. So Lily, just tell us about yourself, your year, your school, and we'd like to catch up with your thoughts on the questions we've asked the others.
So I'm in year 11 and I go to St Albans Girls School. And sorry, what were the questions?
So just your thoughts on whether you're happy to be back at school. Did you miss school? Was home learning a positive experience? How do you feel about those different questions?
Well, I definitely think it's been very hard to adapt the different like environments of learning, and it can be definitely harder for some people, but my school's been amazing. And I think the main problem for home learning was that it wasn't as easy to communicate with our teachers, and that's what we need, to be honest. That's what we need to go off, and that's what reassures us over all these changes that we've been told. So I think being back is amazing that we can properly talk to our teachers and we can just learn again in the proper environment.
Fantastic, Lily. Yes, so really everybody seems to be very glad to be back at school, back to be in touch with your teachers. And Lily, what do you think were, as an exam year for you, has that been even trickier?
Yeah, I definitely think the years that are not doing exams have had it quite, not easy, but definitely easier, because I've always had that stress at the back of my mind of exams or how I'm getting graded. And I think we've had to adapt a lot quicker and better, knowing that everything counts rather than just being able to work with what we can do and getting back to normality, because we don't have the time. We have to have our exams or some sort of grading this year. So I think we've coped well, but it has been hard.
Great. And I'd like to ask all of you if there's a silver lining out of the whole experience. Do you think it's made you stronger, more resilient? Do you think there was actually anything that you liked about the, you know, a new way of learning? I'll go straight to Nabrissa.
There is definitely a silver lining. I am somebody who quite enjoys their own company sometimes. So sometimes it was quite nice to just be alone and just focus on my work at my own pace. And I also think that it was so much easier to find like resources online that can help you with your supercurricular and your extracurricular for university. So say I wanted to do a bit of work experience, instead of using the time where I would have had to travel to school, I could just wake up a little bit earlier and do some like work experience online instead, which I found really, really helpful, considering you have to balance both your studying and other stuff like work experience. So I think for me, that was definitely the silver lining.
Fantastic. And Lauren, what about you? What positives are you going to take away from the whole experience?
Well, I think it's made every student appreciate school a lot more, and also the teachers. Like, they go above and beyond just to help us, especially in this lockdown. They've been great. And like, I've seen the stress of being a teacher because my mum's a teacher, and it's just made me appreciate when we go back to school and it's all normal, how great that actually is.
I think that's a silver lining for all teachers, isn't it? So far, we've heard some really excellent things being said about teachers and the support that they've given. And, you know, Lucas was saying that as well. So I think that if one of the silver linings is that some teachers perhaps feel that they're getting, you know, a little bit of respect out of this, then that's a wonderful thing. Lucas, any silver linings for you?
Yes, I definitely think a silver lining for me, aside from school, being back at school, is from this lockdown, I've definitely gained some more maturity and definitely more independence. I found that usually, I mean, when I've been younger, you sort of rely on your friends to bring up your mood or sort of keep you on that sort of straight and narrow. And definitely being in this lockdown period, I've learned more to structure myself a bit better and be in control of myself without the need of support from others as much. So I definitely think that is a silver lining.
Fantastic. And Lily, over to you. What are the silver linings?
Well, I definitely have learned more skills to be more self-disciplined, because I think in the first lockdown, we didn't have Google Meets at all. We had Google Classroom and we had to do it at our own pace and everything. And I think lots of people fell behind and found how they weren't very self-motivated and they kind of relied on the environment of school. But I enjoyed doing it by myself now, and I find the advantages of doing that as well.
That's excellent. So we've come to the end of the show for this evening. So I really want to say, Lauren, Lucas, Lily and Nebrissa, you're absolutely an inspiration to your generation, how you've just rolled with the punches. I keep quoting you, Lucas, but you really just got on ahead and made the best out of a very, very tricky situation. And I hope for all of you that this won't ever happen again. I hope for us it won't ever happen again. But thanks so much for joining us on the Parents Show this evening.
And the best of luck with all of your assessments, whether they are little assessments or whether they are big assessments, and for your futures. Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.